Good morning and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your Thursday host, and I'm glad you've joined me today. Mornings for the Master is heard every weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and you have a different host and a different course of study for each day. On Thursdays, we are currently studying the book of Daniel. And today, for our consideration, we're going to look at chapter 4 and see that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Now let's begin by going through the chapter, beginning in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be to you. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beast of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. And I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you, after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon, that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the time I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can restrain his hand, or say to him, What have you done? At the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream. It involved a large image with a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thigh of bronze, and legs of iron with feet of iron mixed with clay. Let's go back to that now in chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. We saw that dream in chapter 2 representing four world empires: the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greeks, and the Romans. And in that dream, the image was destroyed by a small stone made without hands. Go back to chapter 2 again and notice verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Of course, that was representing the establishment of a kingdom by the God of heaven, a kingdom that would never be destroyed and would consume the other kingdoms. Now, this prompted the king to praise the God of Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 47, then the king answered Daniel and said, Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. And then in chapter 3, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar made a large image of gold. He required all of his kingdom to worship it, or else the threat of death. Notice chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." But three young men did not obey that command. Yet they would survive that fiery furnace, as we looked at last week. Notice chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' 'Look,' he answered, 'I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of the fire was not on them." We saw that these actions prompted the king to bless the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 28 and 29. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." But now as we go to chapter 4, we find that it appears that Nebuchadnezzar has much more to learn about God. Now Nebuchadnezzar knew that God was the Lord of kings and that he was the revealer of secrets. Chapter 2 and verse 47 said, "The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret.'" So Nebuchadnezzar knew that God can deliver his servants. Chapter 3, verse 28 and 29 again, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. But now, it was time for him to learn that God, the Most High and King of Heaven, rules in the kingdoms of men, including his own. It was through a second dream, and the succeeding events to that, that led Nebuchadnezzar to this conclusion. In his own words, the king of Babylon relates how this happened. And this is what we find in chapter 4. So let's consider this dream, its interpretation, and its fulfillment. Notice the words of Nebuchadnezzar coming up to this. He spoke to all who dwell on the earth. Verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. To declare the signs and wonders of the Most High God, proclaiming God's kingdom to be everlasting and his dominion from generation to generation. Notice verses 2 and 3. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And beginning in verse 4, we see the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It is a dream that troubled him and made him very afraid. Verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. We see that he was dissatisfied with the wise men of Babylon and their inability to give him the meaning of these dreams. Verse 6, therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dreams. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream. But they did not make known to me its interpretation. And then the dream is told to Daniel. The king has great confidence in Daniel. Verse 8. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar now begins to relate to Daniel the facts of the dream. Verse 10. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beast of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth. Bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let 7 times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets it over the lowest of men." So we found a tree in the middle of the earth, its height reaching to the heaven. We saw the decree of a holy one called a watcher concerning the tree to be cut down and to leave only the stump and the roots, to be bound with a band of iron and bronze. It was to be wet with the dew of heaven. He was to graze with the beast of the field, his heart changed from that of a man to an animal, and let 7 times, possibly years, pass over him. The purpose of the decree of the Holy One is for the living to know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, that the Most High gives it to whomever he will and sets over the lowest of men. The king now repeats his confidence to Daniel in his ability to interpret the dream. Notice verse 18. "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." And now, beginning in verse 19, we begin to see Daniel's interpretation. We find that Daniel is astonished and troubled by the dream. Verse 19, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, 'Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you.' Belteshazzar answered and said, 'My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies.' Yet the king reassures Daniel that it's okay to tell him the interpretation of the dream. Daniel wished that the dream pertained to the king's enemies. Now let's look at the facts of Daniel's interpretation, beginning in verse 20. "The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose heights reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and which was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O King, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stumps and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. The tree which became strong and tall represents Nebuchadnezzar. The king shall be driven from men and dwell among beasts and eat grass like oxen. Seven times would pass over him, possibly meaning 7 years, till he knew that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, giving it to whomever he chooses. So at the end of 7 times, the kingdom would be returned to Nebuchadnezzar. This is shown by the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree. For it would be restored once he comes to know that heaven rules. Daniel's counsel for the king was to start acting righteously and to show mercy. Notice verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off from your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. And then we see the fulfillment of the dream. It came to pass at the end of 12 months. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. So 12 months later, as Nebuchadnezzar was walking around the palace, boasting about his own power and his majesty, he was about to be humbled. Verse 30. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And we'll find now in verse 33 that very hour he was driven from men. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar would eat grass like the oxen. His body would be wet with the dew of heaven, and his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like a bird's claw. And at the end of the time, this seven times, understanding returned back to the king. Verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" This ordeal prompted Nebuchadnezzar to bless and praise the Most High, the one who lives forever. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged his everlasting dominion and his kingdom, acknowledged him as the one who does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and that none can restrain or say, "What have you done?" And so Nebuchadnezzar was restored. Verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. Nebuchadnezzar's mind and splendor is returned to him. His counselors and nobles resorted to him. And now Nebuchadnezzar praises and honors the King of heaven for his justice and truth. The one King of heaven who is able to humble those who walk in pride. So now let's consider the purpose of the dream and its fulfillment. The purpose of it was stated several times now in the chapter and in the dream itself. Go back to verse 17. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he wills, and sets it over the lowest of men. Daniel also stated this in providing the interpretation. Notice verses 25 and 26. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and that they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. It was also pointed out as it was spoken from heaven when the dream come to pass in verse 32. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be like the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And also by Nebuchadnezzar, the point was made when his mind returned to him after the ordeal. Verses 34 and 35. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" The purpose was to learn that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, which Daniel acknowledged from Nebuchadnezzar's first dream. Think back to chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." And now King Nebuchadnezzar does also as a result of his second dream. The main point is quite simple. But do we acknowledge the truth of that? Do we fully appreciate that the Most High still rules in the kingdom of men, only now through his Son? To stir up our remembrance, let's consider for a few moments what the New Testament teaches us about the rule of God in the kingdoms of men. Jesus Christ now reigns as the sovereign majesty. This was claimed before he ascended to heaven in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." It was proclaimed after his ascension. And notice Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father." Also notice Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. "To him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." This was also taught by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I won't take the time to read them all, but you can later look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 26, and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. So Jesus has the authority, but does he exercise that authority? Let's consider the fact that Jesus Christ now reigns in the kingdoms of men. This was foretold by the prophets. The second Psalm spoke of this. The attempt of the nations to reject Christ that is found in that second psalm in verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 through 6 tell us of the coronation of Christ despite their efforts to prevent it. Verses 7 through 9 tell us of the exercise of Jesus' rule over the nations. And the chapter closes with pointing out the importance of judges and kings serving the Lord. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 28 confirms that this passage is speaking of Jesus. Let's go there. Acts 4, beginning in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together, and the Lord against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. We see that fulfillment. In the 110th Psalm, which tells us of the rule of Christ in the midst of his enemies, according to the first two verses. Verses 3 and 4 point out his voluntary service of his people, the church, and the priestly service of their king. And then concludes with the exercise of Christ of judgment among the nations. We see this confirmed on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, verses 32 to 36, that was referring to the Christ. Pick up in Acts 2, verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This was taught by the apostles. Governing authorities exist as appointed by God to serve as ministers of God, we learn in Romans 13, verses 1 through 4. Why are we instructed to pray for kings and those in authority that peace may prevail? Unless God or Christ can actually do something about it. And we see that they can. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Jesus Christ is the ruler over the kings of the earth and has authority over them to do as he pleases. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus exercised that rule in the destruction of Jerusalem that had been foretold in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus exercised that rule in destroying the beast of Revelation, the Roman Empire and all its forces. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Truly, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19 and verse 16 says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15 says, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We may not always be able to see how it is so, If Christ rules in the kingdom of men, why do evil men and evil empires exist? This was a problem that perplexed the prophet Habakkuk. He cried out concerning the wickedness in Israel. Notice Habakkuk asked this question that many often ask in Habakkuk 1 verses 2 to 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. We find that Habakkuk was amazed that God would punish Israel by a nation even more evil than Israel. In that same Habakkuk 1, notice verses 12 and 13. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously, and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? But Habakkuk placed his trust in God, no matter the circumstances. Now notice Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and yet there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. It helps to understand the nature of Jesus Christ's rule. He rules in the midst of his enemies. 110th Psalm, verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Jesus must rule until he has put all enemies under his feet. 2 Corinthians 15, verses 25 and 26, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Until he comes again, Jesus exercises his authority over the nations in ways that we may not always comprehend, but we must trust. And so now as we begin to bring things to a close today, it must have been comforting to Daniel to know that the Most High rules. For at the time of this dream, Daniel and the nation of Israel was in captivity. Their temple was destroyed, their land plundered, and they were filled with transplanted foreigners. Yet Daniel knew the prophecy of Jeremiah that after 70 years they would return. Jump forward to chapter 9 now in Daniel and notice verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Azorus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Knowing that God rules, even when wicked men seem to prevail, gave Daniel hope, and it should give men hope today. We can take comfort in knowing that the Most High rules today. that he rules in the kingdom of men, and his name is Jesus. He is our Savior, our priest, and our friend. And we can look forward to the future with hope and not fear. But this is only true if we give Jesus the complete and sovereign rule in our personal lives. He must be our Lord. He must be King of our lives. And what we must be in His army in the day of power. The 110th Psalm in verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Have we submitted in obedience to Him who is both Lord and Christ? Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 38 say, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us not forget the admonition of the psalmist in the second psalm, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And so we end today with the question, are you putting your trust in Jesus, the Son of God? Thank you for joining me today. If the Lord wills, we'll be together next week as we'll continue our study as we examine Daniel chapter 5. I hope you'll join me. Until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long. Have a great day and be sure and tune in to Mornings for the Master tomorrow with Brother Chip Horton as your host and all of the programming through the day here on the Gospel Radio Network. So long and have a great day.